Welcome to a show of their own, Sports and Life with Morgan and Laura. I'm Morgan.
I'm Laura, and welcome back. I'm back and refreshed after a nice trip. And then, of course, I get to talk about the annual heart attack that is the Stanley Cup playoffs.
How fun.
So we're recording this on Monday. Some games are going on, but we'll obviously miss some of those. And so far, as of now, only one series is complete. I will say the Panthers have the are ahead right now. It's in the second intermission, and if they hold on to win, then they will beat the Lightning in the series. So we'll talk about that more. But so far, only one series is completely done, and that is the New York Rangers swept the Washington Capitals. The Washington Capitals, who may like were that last spot that the Penguins missed out on by just this little bit, making the playoffs. And then they get proceed to get swept by the New York Rangers. Not really a huge surprise. The Rangers are really good. The Capitals, I would say, I'm definitely biased, but I would say of the teams competing, were one of the weaker ones. There were certainly teams I thought were better. I would have had more fear of Detroit. I certainly think the Pens were kind of going in a better trajectory than the Capitals were, so I think they would have given the Rangers a little more of a fight than ended up happening. But that series was a 4-1 win, a 4-3 win, a 3-1 win, a 4-2 win. So pretty impressive for the Rangers, and they move on. They will then play the winner of the Hurricanes Islanders series. The Hurricanes are up 3-1 in that series, and I am very passionately rooting for the Hurricanes because one of my favorite players ever, Jake Guentzel, was traded to the Hurricanes, and has just done absolutely amazing. It's been so cool to watch. Early on, they kind of tried to get him warmed up in the system or whatever, but then he had a really, really good chemistry with Sebastian Aho, which makes a lot of sense because Jake does really well with those high-skilled players with great vision. Jake obviously notoriously was famously Sidney Crosby's line mate. Like, that third spot would change, but it was always Sid and Jake. And I think there's a reason for that. It's not, like, contrary to popular belief, you would think, I think a lot of people think, like, oh, you could just, like, if I learned how to skate, I could be Sidney Crosby's line mate. Like, Sidney Crosby's the best player in the world. You just throw anyone with him and he could make someone who's terrible good. And it's kind of not true at all. And part of that is a lot of what makes Sid so good. So I guess, counterbalance that, Connor McDavid, also a really good player, he's a little bit more like that, although it's not really true for anybody, but he's a little bit more like that. But because Connor McDavid, his skills are a lot of what makes him so good is just his speed. Sid, what makes him so good is his vision and, like, the way he thinks the game at such a higher level than everyone else is. So he's kind of designing these things and coming up with these things that are so high level thinking. Well, if you're on the ice with someone who doesn't know what they're doing and is just kind of all over the place, Sid's going to throw this great pass and there's going to be no one there to receive it, versus Jake kind of thinking a similar way. He can kind of anticipate where Sid is going to be. And similarly, you find that with Aho, that he thinks that game at that higher level. And that has been really cool to see. They played him with Seth Jarvis a lot, which I really liked that line combination. But then they've since split it up in the playoffs. And now Andrei Svechnikov is the third part of that. I would like to see them go back to Jarvis a little bit, maybe, but I always trust Rod Brind'Amour. He's a really good coach, and it's been really cool to watch Jake in that system. And it's kind of cool because Jake was, in some ways, the missing piece for the Hurricanes. They always were very good. They had very good numbers, and this has kind of been their history the past few years. They would do very well. in the regular season. They would have amazing numbers. All the stats nerds would love them. And then they get to the playoff and they just didn't have that offensive firepower. It would kind of just wither away as the playoffs were on. Jake is a really good offensive player, so having that kind of production is really helpful to augment the team and kind of give it that firepower that it needs. That said, Jake hasn't really even hit his peak performance as an offensive talent. He's not scoring at quite the same goal rate he normally did with the Pens. So if he explodes, look out. That team could be really good. The Islanders also like one of the craziest moments from that game. Let me look it up. I'm pulling it up, but I believe it was game two. The Islanders were ahead the whole game, including being ahead 3-0 at one point. And then so they were ahead 3-0. And then in the second, Teuvo Teravainen for the Hurricanes got a goal to make it 3-1. And then in the third, about halfway through the third, Seth Jarvis got a goal to make it 3-2. You're like, oh, it's a one goal game. It's kind of crazy that they were up 3-0 and now it's like this close. And then sure enough, with 2 minutes and 15 seconds left in the game, Sebastian Aho ties the game. You're like, oh, this is such a fall apart. It's going to go to overtime. Not so fast. 9 seconds after tying the game, the Hurricanes take the lead when Jordan Martinuk scores a goal. So they lose in regulation after having been ahead 3-0. Like really, really crazy stuff. And that was a pretty wild, one of the wilder games in the first round. So that is your one side of the Eastern Conference wrap up, I guess. The other division has that Florida Tampa series I mentioned. It is kind of cool that that's how it worked out. It could have been Boston Tampa and but it like some late last minute shenanigans made it Florida Tampa. And honestly, I like that way better just because that battle for Florida, you wouldn't like you'd think there might be some animosity, but then you also think it's a floor two Florida hockey teams. Like, how is that like storied rivalry? But it really does. There's some great juice to that rivalry. And Florida has been ahead 3-1, but it kind of disguises the fact the first two games were 3-2 wins for Florida, so that's very close. And I will say Florida went up 3-0, so the only way Tampa wins is with a reverse sweep. They're down right now, so it's been a really good series. But I would say probably not like the most memorable in the first round. So we'll see how that one ends up with. And then the one I really wanted to talk about, it is like part 1 million of Boston Toronto, and I don't even call it a rivalry because a rivalry implies like some kinds of back and forth and like who wins, who loses, that sort of thing. And Boston has just always won. If you remember in 2013, the Leafs were not that great of a team, anyways, but made it to the playoffs, play Boston, get to 7 games, have a 4-1 lead. The Leafs have a 4-1 lead against a team who's better than them, and they're like, great. We're going to sneak through the first round. And then they proceed to blow a 4-1 lead and lose 5-4 in overtime. And it was this humongous meltdown that like lives in Leaf legend forever. Then you fast forward to 2017, the Bruins again. It's set game seven again. The Leafs lose again in seven. The next year, same thing happens. Leafs lose in seven to the Bruins. It just keeps happening. And if you want to see, if you ever watch Steve Dangle stuff, his Boston reactions are always can't miss television. But so the way that series goes, first game, the Bruins just absolutely wipe the floor with the Leafs. It's 5-1. The second game, the Leafs kind of come back to make it a competitive game that in and of itself was a moral victory, but they actually get the actual victory and win 3-2. The third game, it's a little bit of a back and forth game, but Boston pulls it out 4-2. And that game was in Toronto. And then this fourth game that's in Toronto, this is the one that's really inexcusable. The Boston wins 3-1. It's just not ever really close. The Leafs don't look good. They're arguing with each other famously. Auston Matthews, Mitch Marner, two of the best players and highest paid players, and William Nylander are all arguing on the bench. It's mostly Auston and Mitch. And then Willie comes in to say basically like chill out and that sort of thing. And it's all this chaos. And then in intermission, there's the national broadcast in Canada, the national broadcast in the US. Both national broadcasts go after Mitch Marner as not doing well, not performing, and at the money he makes. And this is a habit of him in the playoffs. It's just really unacceptable. And so everything is kind of falling apart in Leafland. Auston Matthews doesn't play the third period because of some mystery illness that no one is really giving a lot of details about. It sounds like in the practice lines today that they are preparing for a game five without him, which would be absolutely devastating. He is their best player by a mile. He is an elite player, and to be down 3-1 and not have Auston Matthews, it doesn't look good. I think the only thing that gives people comfort, and maybe it's like a cruel kind of comfort, is that the history of the Leafs and the Bruins, the Leafs always lose a heartbreaking 7-game series. And as Jesse Blake, also on the Steve Dangle podcast, points out, you can't lose in seven if you don't first lose, like win three and lose three. So they've lost three already. They've only won one. So they have to win two more to like fulfill the prophecy and lose in seven. So we will see what happens. But I will say Boston looks clear. The interesting thing, Boston looks so much better than the Leafs. But if you actually look at the team, Boston is such a like, it blows my mind because they lost Patrice Bergeron, they lost David Krejci. Their center depth is like non-existent. Like Pavel Zacha is one of their top centers. He is not a top center in this game, not even a little bit. And that's like goes against everything everyone says about being a good team. Like you need clear-cut number one center, that kind of thing. They don't have that. And the Leafs obviously do. Like both Auston Matthews and John Tavares would be the Bruins' best center by a good mile. And so the fact that they have that kind of level above and they look that outmatched, it's pretty crazy. Just how good Boston's been. A lot of that goes to their goaltending, which this was kind of a mistake Boston made last year when they lost to Florida in the first round. Linus Ullmark was their starter all season. He did great. Him and Jeremy Swayman were this amazing tandem. They go into the playoffs. Ullmark is a little hurt, but they want to ride him because he's so good and he's the best and he's their number one. And then they ride him all the way to losing in the first round. In this series, Swayman has been their best performer. So their decision seems to be we're going to keep playing Swayman until we have a reason to play Ullmark over Swayman. And that's such a better choice. Like, ride the hot hand. That is like goaltending is voodoo. It doesn't make any sense. Someone who's terrible can have an amazing stretch of games, and you just got to ride that out and take it. And don't go like, well, on paper, this guy is the better goalie, because even stats people say like goaltending doesn't make any sense. So you just kind of got to run with it. So that is kind of the Eastern Conference, I guess, in a quick little nutshell. Morgan, any crazy thoughts in the East before I move to what I'm sure you're more interested in, the West?
Well, what I was gonna say is when you were talking about how they call Boston and Toronto a rivalry or try to make it a rivalry, I think that's always such an interesting thing when any type of, I guess not media, but like to make it more interesting, they'll call it a rivalry when it's clearly not. Like The Texas Rangers just played Seattle Mariners last week for like the first time they've played each other this season. And all of the commercials on Bally Sports were saying, in state or in division rival, Seattle Mariners come to town. I'm like, just because they're in our division, they are not a rival. Like they're just in our division. They're not a rival. I don't consider the Angels a rival. The Athletics aren't really a rival, but Houston is definitely a rival. But like it's just such an overused thing. Like just because a t two teams play each other so often is not a rivalry. Like you said, there has to be some kind of back and forth, some kind of like aggression almost between the two teams for it to be a rivalry. You can't just throw that out loosely because rivalries are
And
fun,
it's
and that doesn't sound
crazy.
fun.
It is crazy because to Toronto, it is a rivalry. Like, it's this big
Yeah.
boogeyman. They can't beat Boston. Boston always just wipes the floor with them in the most heartbreaking 7-game series and all of that. But think of it from Boston's perspective. They've won all these series in 7 games. Like, how is that a rivalry? You just win.
Exactly. Yeah. That's kind
So.
of how, not to keep bringing it back to like Texas Rangers, but that's kind of how at first when the Astros moved from National League to American League, they were awful. They were losing like 100 games a season and the Rangers would play them and you just knew it was going to be an automatic like potential sweep every series that the Rangers were going to win. They were going to beat them. I'm like, that's not a rivalry. That's like big brother, little brother, you've got a monkey on your back. Kind of a thing. And then as Houston got better and the Rangers got a little worse, granted they weren't as bad as the Astros had been for as long, then it kind of became more of a rivalry because they're more evenly matched and it was kind of more of a back and forth and not a, oh yay, we get to go beat them. And it wasn't a, oh God, we're gonna get swept by them. So like, and even then I kind of wonder if like the Astros thought of it as a rivalry then. Like you just said, Toronto can kind of see it as a little more of a rivalry in the sense of like, God, I just want to beat them for once, kind of a thing.
Yeah, and that's I like it's a rivalry to Toronto. I'm not really convinced it's a rivalry for
There
Boston.
has to be like some kind of, I feel like there has to be a word or phrase when it's like a one-sided
Yeah,
thing. Because I
unrequited
kind of,
rivalry.
yeah. Can we name that the
That's
title of this
the episode
episode?
title is unrequited rivalry.
Because that also like that reminds me of like how Minnesota kind of still holds a grudge against the Stars, even though like there's nothing to be like
And
there's
like
no
this,
rivalry between the two,
like
but
does Dallas particularly hate Minnesota? Because I can't imagine why. Like,
yeah,
it's just
so
kind of there.
like Minnesota just hates us because we were there and now we're not, so sure, but like yeah, an unrequited rivalry.
Unrequited.
I love that.
It's kind of the Pens equivalent would be Columbus Blue Jackets because they just always beat Columbus a lot.
Yeah.
And like, I don't like. Why would I hate Columbus, Ohio? Like,
Yeah.
I
It
just
also is
don't
kind of like an insult too, of like, you're not good enough for
get
me to like hate you.
to care.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's kind of the East summary, and then I'm gonna skip. We're gonna do your section last, so
Okay.
we'll go to the Pacific side of the Western bracket, and first we've got the Edmonton Oilers versus the Los Angeles Kings. And then a surprise to approximately no one, Connor McDavid is either tied or alone leading the entire NHL in points in the playoffs. Like, wow. Who would have predicted that? But the thing that's interesting is the first three games were full on what I would have expected for these two teams, and especially the Edmonton Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers are offense, they're fun. Defense, goaltending, but just fun, go, score a lot of points. And they lived up to that. The first game, the Oilers won 7-4. The second game, the Kings won 5-4. The third game, Edmonton won 6-1. And you're like, that all makes sense. That fact checks out. Like, those are those teams. And then yesterday, I don't know what happened, but they decided to have a 1-0 game, and Edmonton won that game. But you're just like, really, after all of that, you couldn't give me a little more? Like, I like all those games with all the goals and all the excitement. but had to be a letdown, I guess. But there is at least one more game, and if I can pull it out potentially more. The Kings are really on an upswing and all of that, but just, I mean, Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, like Zach Hyman has been such an amazing fit there, with playing with Connor McDavid, it just makes so much sense. There, he had, I think he had a hat trick. Yeah, he had a hat trick in the very first game of the playoffs, Zach Hyman did, and it just makes sense. It works really well. The Kings, I really like the Kings. They've built, I always like, I say that, and I say this as a Pens fan who we just got Sidney Crosby, which kind of helped build our team. But you really do respect teams that have really good management and then build a team through that, through like smart draft picks, smart trades, that kind of thing to build that good base of talent. And the Kings and the Rangers are the two examples that come to my mind. So I really respect that about the Kings. I just think they maybe are like a year, a couple years, and maybe like one good, like big free agent. Pierre-Luc Dubois has been a fairly disaster of a trade. That's the one miss. But other than that, like I think the future is bright for the Kings. I just think they're maybe missing a little something. And then the other matchup in this Pacific Division, it has a central team because it's the wild card team, is Vancouver versus Nashville. Nashville's hilarious to me because they weren't doing that great this season, and then their GM decided to be a jerk and cancel the team trip to like some show or something in Vegas. But it was a team trip that included like trainers and their families and all of this. It was like a concert. And he just canceled it because of poor play, which, I mean, yeah, the trainers had a lot to do with that, dude. And then ever since then, their team has done amazing. And it's like reinforced his very crappy decision and mean decision and all of that. And it kind of annoys me. So with that in mind, I'm kind of happy Vancouver is winning. Vancouver's always had some really good pieces, Elias Pettersson, Brock Besser, Quinn Hughes, that sort of thing. The thing that's always been the problem with Vancouver is they've invested a lot of money in really dumb decisions. There's too many to count on that, and they had Jim Benning set that franchise back a long way as a GM. But then they po poached the former Pens manager Jim Rutherford, or general manager Jim Rutherford. And he kind of helped stabilize the ship a little bit in many ways, both the culture and who they bring in and that kind of thing. And so I think they gel really well together. It's a really good team, and it's been cool to watch. So Vancouver won 4-2 the first game, Nashville won 4-1 the second game, Vancouver won 2-1, Vancouver won the last game 4-3. And then has the opportunity to finish it off tomorrow if they win. Otherwise, the series stays alive. I'm definitely rooting for Vancouver in this one, if you couldn't tell. I just don't like to reward toxic cultures. It is interesting that, with the exception of New York Rangers, who swept, and a series which we will mention later, which may or may not be of interest to Morgan, all of the series right now are sitting at 3-1. So there's like some very weird synergy going on in the NHL. But yes, that is the Pacific Division. And then finally, wrapping it up with the Central Division, I'll start with Winnipeg and Colorado. The interesting thing about Winnipeg is Connor Hellebuyck has not been as great as he has been the rest of the season. He's going to win the Vezina walking away. And because the Vezina's voted on before the playoffs for this exact reason. And then goalies are voodoo. It makes no sense. I just said that earlier, but it bears repeating. It is the eternally true statement. And so then in the first game in the playoffs, he gives up 6 goals, but they win 7-6. I don't get it. It was truly true. That game, I wasn't even watching that game, but I just like saw the updates from the game, and I'm like, what is even happening? So after the end of the first, it was 3-3. Like, how is it 3-3? And then There was one goal in the second. It was 4-3, and then in the by the end of the third, it was 7-6 Winnipeg. Like craziness. Lots of offense. Game two, Colorado won 5-2. Game three, Colorado won 6-2. Game four, Colorado won 5-2. So Connor Hellebuyck is letting up a minimum of five and an average of 5.5 goals every game in the playoffs so far. Like, that is not Connor Hellebuyck at all. If he just decides to figure it out, it's a whole new series and milk out. But right now, it's Colorado is looking like they're walking away with it. It was really cool. The last game, Valeri Nichushkin, not the first Colorado Avalanche player anyone thinks of. That would be like Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, oh, what's his name? Mika Rantanen. Those would be like the top three players I think you'd think of as offensive dynamos for the Avalanche. But then, of course, it's Valeri Nichushkin who gets a hat trick on home ice. That was very cool to see. The fans responded with a lot of hats. So, a lot of excitement. I do prefer the games where there's a lot of goals, as much as I'm saying I would like Connor Hellebuyck to figure it out. But also, I think Colorado is a really great team. Obviously, they've won the cup, very well constructed, all of that. And Morgan, I know this will matter to you. Colorado in this series, the most important stat is the team not coached by Rick Bonus, which is an important stat in determining
The
winners.
most important thing.
So yes. But I mean, I will say on this one, it's hard to blame Rick Bonus for goalie voodoo. Like,
I'm sure we could find a way.
yes, I'm sure we could, but yeah, that is the most important stat in the Winnipeg series. So that is all of the minus one, and you'll never guess which one I saved till the end. Vegas.
Stars, I think.
Why would I say that to the end? I just have to go on this rant that
Go for it.
Vegas are such frauds as far as like, oh my God, Mark Stone so injured he can't play and we need to recover all his cap the regular season end. Oh, it's a miracle, he's all better, he can play, and then he scores goals and oh my God, isn't it amazing? And it's like literally every year with them. Somebody who
I was
makes
going
like
to say, they've done this multiple times.
and done this with Mark Stone multiple times, but they've done this with Jack Eichel, which that one was probably the first and only legitimate one. But all these ones, it's like, oh my God, this guy who makes a lot of money can't play when the money would actually go against our cap hit. Oh no, what are we gonna do? Guess we gotta save the money in the regular season. Oh, and would you look at that? He's healthy in time for the playoffs. And then the thing, Morgan's a Stars fan, so she's a little biased, but I will say
Just
this.
a little.
I will say this. They snuck in as a wild card team and did not have Mark Stone the entire season. And then, oh my gosh, he's better. And then they're playing a really good team, but they're a way better team than they ever were in the regular season because they got one their captain back. Like, it's just so annoying.
Yeah, they shouldn't have been a wild card. They would
No.
have been higher up. It would have completely changed the
Well, and they
matchups.
wouldn't have had all the players that they did because they couldn't have afforded it. So, because the salary cap doesn't count in the playoffs. And that's what just so, it's just so annoying. And it's so, can I, but I get it in the sense of like, this, everyone is trying to cheat the salary cap and everyone cheats the salary cap in 10 different ways. But it's just very, very
It
annoying.
feels very egregious. That's how they do it.
Yeah. And so, of course, Vegas has a 2-1 lead, but is playing in like the game is going to start in like 3 minutes. So by the time this airs, we will know if Vegas has a 3-1 lead or if the series is all tied. I am rooting for it because it just seems too weird that every series minus New York Rangers would be 3-1. That's
Yeah,
just
that
a
is
little too much.
very bizarre.
So I need Dallas to come through tonight.
Same.
So yes, but it's I mean, of the other games, like of the other series, you'd see these huge scores. Edmonton, LA, Vancouver, over Nashville. You'd see these huge differences. I mean, the biggest margin of victory is Vegas won a game by 2 goals, but every other game has been 1 goal. Like, that is so even-handed and stuff like that. And it was that's kind of how you want it to be. And then of course that last game went to overtime, and Wyatt Johnston got the overtime goal. So it's probably not probably 100% the most even series we have in the first round so far. Now, that said, it's a little crappy that it's even when it's the wild card team, but you know,
Yeah.
that's hockey for you. But we'll see how that game ends tonight. Morgan, I guess I'll turn it over to you if you have any thoughts on the Stars.
I just realized how ironic it is that I'm annoyed that a wild card team is doing good when the Texas Rangers won the World Series last year as a wild card. So
But
that's interesting how the tables turned.
it would be one thing if they were the exact same team they were in the regular season, but Logan Thompson got hot, or Jack Eichel
Yeah.
just went on a tear and went on a heater. And you'd be like, well, I mean, that's the playoff performers. But when a guy who literally didn't play comes back, their captain.
Yeah, who had all this time to rest.
Yeah, and that is a uniquely hockey thing, because that would not happen in baseball. Because if he was better, if a player was better for the last 10 games of the baseball season, they might not play him a ton, but they'd certainly play him a little bit to try to get him some game action. And
Yeah.
it's not going to hurt their luxury tax and all of that situation, but it certainly would hurt in hockey. And so therefore it's like, oh, well, rest. He can't possibly be healed until right after the season ends.
Yeah, that's true. And I will say, the Stars definitely won overtime because it was such a late game that I decided not to watch and I went to sleep instead. And that game actually ended at 1:30 a.m. local time. So I was glad I made the decision I made because it started at like 10 p.m. That I feel like that's kind of like a rant I have is that the Stars got all the late games, and it's very annoying because they've been playing at the 2 games here in Texas. They played at 8:30 in Vegas, this 8:30 local time in Texas, and then 9:30, and then tonight they play at 8:30. I just want like a normal time. Like even 8 o'clock is better than 8:30 because the 8:30 isn't even an 8:30 start. It's an 8:55 start by the time they drop the puck and actually, you know, start the game. That's my little rant about that. I want normal hockey game times.
Well, and especially, again, this is not a perfect logic, but the only reason they're doing that is because Vegas is on the West Coast, and but the only reason Vegas is playing in the central bracket is because they're in the wild card position, which they got by not having as good of a position in the playoffs.
So it's
If
all Vegas's fault and they should
so.
lose.
So they should play on Central Time. We say
Yeah.
this as two people in the Central Time, but you know.
But also, I just feel like you should cater to the team that had the better record.
Clearly that's not happening, because everyone caters to Vegas all the time.
I say this also as a Rangers fan who every time they're in the playoffs, the first few rounds, it's always afternoon games and never like a good 6 p.m. or 7 p.m., hell of 5 p.m. It's always like afternoon while people are working, which thankfully I didn't have to work during most of the postseason games because I schedule myself, so it worked out that way. But like, I just for once, can someone cater to a DFW team time zone, please?
I mean, it's central. We're one of the two middle ones. Why not?
Right? Like, and it would also, I think if you give us an 8, okay, make it 7:30, which means the game would actually start closer to 8. That's actually like a decent time for almost every time zone. Still kind of late for East Coast, but 3 out of the 4 isn't bad.
Yes. I 100% agree. So, with that is like the playoff, a quick run around the league for the playoffs. Morgan, did you have a rant or rave for us?
I do. I have both, even though I did just rant. I have yet another rant, and it is also stars related. And I'm sure if you're on Twitter, you saw the Ranger or the Rangers, the Stars playoff theme is atrocious, and also proved that sometimes bullying in the right way works. So their first iteration of their theme was AI, really leaning hard into the AI and not in a good way. And to the point where they spelled playoffs PLAIOFFS, and they like leaned hard into it. Like it was on their Twitter banner, they got light up signs at the stadium for it. It was just awful. And like it I tweeted this last week, but like they should have leaned more into like I feel like more like sci-fi rather than AI, because their theme, and it kind of has been their theme for the last couple years at the American Airlines Center from what I've seen, is like their opening video is kind of like an they try to say it's AI. It's to me it's more like sci-fi, like robot-y kind of like enhanced humans kind of theme of their like opening video, like their hype video. And so I guess they were trying to combine that with like their playoff theme, but it just didn't work. And then like the colors are just black and the super like intense lime neon green, which I like, but like it was just aggressive. And then like to make it worse, like they didn't even wear their jerseys that match that theme. Like that would have at least helped a little bit. Anyway, they changed it so they took out the AI in playoffs. Thank God, because that was the dumbest thing ever. And I wish they like the Stars like in their locker room, like their theme for the year was all in. And like that could have at least been a good tie to be like, no, the AI is for that, not like AI artificial intelligence. But they never made those connections, so it didn't work, and it was very stupid. And part of me wanted the Stars to get swept just so I wouldn't have to see that in my timeline, which I know is aggressive to say, but that's how much it hurt my eyes and my brain to see. My rave is also hockey related. It's very random. But my mom sent it to me on Instagram, and it was this video showing how I believe it was Anaheim Ducks, like at the end of the season, like how they melt down the ice and all of that stuff, which I knew how they did it like between games and like transitioned to like basketball. I never realized there was a whole different process, at least for them, of melting the ice down at the end of the season, which makes sense. You don't need it to be there for off season. But then the fact that like it's not paint, it's like a vinyl like layer between the slabs of ice essentially, and then how they melt down the ice and just like sweep it in the tunnels or something. I don't really understand what was happening. It was just a very cool video that I found very entertaining. And I want to find the whole video because what I found was like someone reacting to that, which was fun because we had the same re reactions. But it's a very interesting thing that like I never thought about, and I love those kinds of videos.
Well, that was a great way to end our show. So, with that, we will see you all on Friday for our life edition, and we will talk to you all then.